Hello and welcome to the Essence of Life podcast. My name is Nicole Ming and I'm your host today. This podcast is all about depth, looking behind the scenes, diving deep into what life is at the core in its essence. When I did an Instagram online course some month ago, I came across a very special soul called Tan Mayo. I immediately felt a deep connection. Tan Mayo has huge creative talents. She was born in Scotland and now lives in Germany. When listening to her beautiful voice and looking at her vast paintings, a whole universe opened up and something at my core started to vibrate. Tan Mayo is a singer, songwriter, gifted composer and musician. Furthermore, she is a photographer, a visual artist and now also a filmmaker. Her first film, Bayadere, just won the first prize at a film festival in Scotland. When I prepared for our conversation, I visited her website and I suddenly realized that our guest today is a true star. Tan Mayo toured with others around the globe, played with artists such as the spiritual singer and songwriter Snatam Kaur in front of many people and played at Sir Paul McCartney's wedding. Tan Mayo, we're so honored to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Tan Mayo, before we start our conversation, I'd love to share one of your songs with our audience. We're so honored to be allowed to play your song After the Storm Has Gone from your album I Lay Me Down.
Look up and see the dawn. Struggle and fight no more. Wash gently on the shore. Resting in quiet inside, moving upon the tide. 'Cause after the storm has gone, life
What a beautiful song. You can listen to it in full length on iTunes or Spotify. Tan Mayo, you were a disciple of spiritual teacher Osho for more than 25 years. And he gave you the name Tan Mayo. This is Sanskrit and means drunk and dissolving. When did you feel like the meaning of your name recently?
Actually, it's funny. Recently, I was thinking about my name, Nicole, and it always comes back to me again and again because these names were given to us from Osho as a reminder or as a guide or as a kind of message as to what our path is. And a few days ago, I was just sitting quietly and really it was as though the silence just descends into me completely, and I really experienced the body drunk on the divine, you can say, and also dissolving at the same time. It's almost like everything that's solid starts to become more liquid, just like when you put a sugar lump into a cup of coffee and stir it, the solidity, it starts to melt and disappear in a way where the magic remains. So, you know, that doesn't happen so often, but when it does, it's such a blessing and really, yeah, reminds me, it reminds me to remember my name and yeah, allow it to be guiding me.
Is this state of dissolving something you can access consciously?
No, absolutely not. It's a gift. Sometimes people ask me about meditation, and these days I feel like maybe I might meditate, but that's not the meditation. The meditation comes as a gift. Sometimes when you least expect it, and there are times when it doesn't come for a long time, and then suddenly it appears. And it really is like, I think you would say, these desert times where you're just left in this dry, deserted space. But in my heart, when I'm in those spaces, I just say, okay, I'm going to wait and trust that it will come back. And then it does. But no, it's really a gift.
So it takes a lot of trust and patience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it in these moments when your creative impulses come in, or how do your creative processes start?
Oh my goodness, there are so many different processes that I've been through, but I guess all of them start with some kind of spark. Some kind of idea. And, you know, I'm over 50. I've had a long creative life. So I can say that there were times when it was I had something to say. There was something in my heart that I wanted to express. And slowly, slowly, that shifted. And it was as though something wanted to be expressed through me. For instance, my poetry is really something that just came. I have no idea where those poems came from. And if you were to ask me to produce them today, I couldn't. It's really, these were not in my hands. And so it's, yeah, and I'm really on that point at the moment of feeling like in order to create, I have to get out the way completely. Tanmayo has to stand to the side and really let come through what wants to come through. And that's, of course, not easy for the ego, for the, you know, the little person, and all the struggles that come with that. So it's quite a challenge, I would say. But yes, the spark, there's always a spark, wherever that spark comes from.
On your website, you talk about your childhood memories and these very special moments when you put a record on the record player and place the needle right at the edge, and then music started to play. Were these the first experiences where music was calling you and something deep inside of you started to answer that call?
Yes, yes. In fact, these very powerful classical pieces, Tchaikovsky, I think there was a record, and I just was ecstatic with that music and danced. And, you know, I think I remember my grandmother telling me much later, she said, "You were always showing off." It was like, but that's not how I experienced it as a child. It was this being taken over by the music, dissolving into the music. There you can say was the seed of my name. Yeah.
Tanmayo, when I read about you playing at Sir Paul McCartney's wedding, I was thinking about how this happened. Was it the phone ringing one day, or an email coming in, or even a wedding planner calling you? How did it happen that you played at his wedding in front of such a prominent audience?
Oh, that was a very crazy thing. That was actually through a lovely musician friend of mine, Chinmaya Dunster, who I knew from India, from the Osho commune. So the story is that he had a CD called Celtic Ragas, and Paul McCartney was in Ireland, and he was in a shop And there were two CDs in the shop, and one was Celtic Ragas, and he picked it up off the shelf and he listened to it and he loved it. And he and his wife at that time decided they wanted this music as part of their wedding. And so they got in touch with the label and Chinmaya invited me to be part of that band. You know, it was quite a large band. It was all very exciting. And we weren't really supposed to talk about it. I think we're still not supposed to really talk about it. But anyway, we were there at Paul McCartney's wedding. And I think we were more starstruck than anybody because we were spotting all the famous people from the stage while we were playing. But yeah, it was a very magical and crazy experience, actually. Yeah.
And you've also played in front of 10,000 people. This is huge.
This is huge. Although I always tell people in India, 10,000 people is not so much. Because, you know, there are crowds of people. But that was actually at Jaggi Vasudev. I think he's called Satguru now. He's quite famous. Anyway, we were playing at his ashram and it was a huge festival, and really there was just this sea of people going for miles and miles and miles. And
wow, what a rich life, what a rich and creative life. And now, Tanmayo, you started filmmaking. How did this come?
You know, that it's really crazy because I was a musician and I was busy with music, and I played a little concert for some friends and got some extra money. And I thought, oh, one thing that would be really nice for the house is to have a little camera so we can make pictures, you know, in case we need them for publicity. So I bought a little camera and then I had it in my hands and I felt like I know this. I don't know, it was just like I was one with this camera, and it just sparked a whole crazy movement into visual things, into photography. And then I got into film and I suddenly realized, oh, cameras can move, you know, and then I realized, oh, if you put them together with music, that's so exciting. And it just, I just tumbled into that whole visual form in a crazy way and really studied it intensely the last few years, and even put music to the side, actually. And now I'm bringing them all together. I think film is where I can bring all the strands together now.
And your first film is beautiful and really touching. My compliments.
Thank you very much, Cole.
She's dancing for the love of God in the film.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very intense story, and you know, it wasn't easy to adapt it because it was quite a traditional setting, the story originally, and I wanted to bring in the meditative and the letting go into the divine energy.
And it is based on a poem, right?
It's based on a poem by the German poet Goethe, exactly. Bayadere, Gott und Der Bayadere is the poem. It's not a very well known. I think it's a ballade, is what they call it in German. And so I adapted it for film and kind of gave it a slightly more modern and enlightened twist, a little less dark than the original version.
And I love it when you start singing after a few minutes. Your voice is so touching. And of course, yeah. I'll place the link to the film in the show notes so all of us can see it and see what we're talking about here. Tanmayo, when you think about your life or life in its essence, what is it for you that's at the core? What is really important when you look back at your life or at life in general?
It is the longing of the soul. It's following that longing. It's burning in that longing, and going deep. I think this is, for me, it's always about going deep, going to the essence, actually, of what things are, and It's an inner life. It is an inner journey that I'm on in this life. The outer has been there. And if you look at my life, you can say it's very rich from the outside world. I traveled the world, lived in lots of countries, had a lot of experiences. But equally, I had a very rich inner life. And that is more and more and more. And that is the core. That, and as a child also, you know, people always said, oh, you're away with the fairies, you're living in your own world. But that was really, I see now that that's really precious. And it's those inner realms and what's beyond them that is what drives me.
Was this connection and this rich inner life always there and accessible for you, or did you lost connection sometimes when your life was so rich and colorful on the outside?
It, you know, I mean, my times touring and you know, in America and traveling the world, I was also a disciple of Osho at that time. So there was this thread, you can say, that was there. And quite often I would maybe spend 6 months of the year in at that time, traveling, and then I would go back to India and spend a long time meditating, or I did quite a few retreats in silence and things like that. So it's quite it was always inner outer, you know, it was like a balance like that. I would say my life now is more and more inner. That I guess COVID has brought us that too. I'm also older, I don't travel so much, and I feel I'm spending a lot more time with the inner now, which is beautiful, and I love that.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask how you are in this momentum in human history with this pandemic and all that's coming with it.
Yes, I am an interior person, and so this whole time of COVID hasn't been a big challenge for me in that way. It's been very easy just to stay in one place and stay in my house, and I feel that there are so many shifts have happened also for many, many people. And even though, like today, I was in the city and could feel people trying to get back to normal, but it's not, something's changed completely. And it's really like I just feel all the arrows are pointing in a completely different direction than they were before, and we're really being asked to look and see what's essential and find out what that is.
Have we found it as humanity?
I don't know, actually. I really don't know, Nicole. I for myself would say I get tiny glimpses of it, but I wouldn't profess to have found it either. I would, my greatest wish is to not just to find it, but to realize that that's who I am and to be that. And so I think we're on a bit of a bumpy way. But I feel that there's a lot available for us, but we have to listen. And I'm always reminding myself that. And I feel that I need to listen and then listen more and listen even deeper and listen even deeper. But I feel that there's a lot of help available. Whether I take it back to me, whether I'm able to take that help or hear it or understand it in the correct way, I don't know. But...
Do you mean guidance?
Absolutely. Yes, guidance, energies. I don't know if you've seen my paintings, but they are also something that just came through me. I have no idea. I was not thinking of painting stars or gates or portals or whatever. And they just come like that, ready-made. And at that time, I really was feeling in touch with an entity or entities that were coming from the beyond, and they were different from the voice or the entity where the poetry came from. Or so I feel there's a lot of different entities that sometimes are coming through me, and I don't know what they are, or they have completely different voices, completely different energies, completely different creative roots also. And, you know, I sometimes think I'm completely mad, but they get grounded through my creations, and then I just move on, and then they're gone again. And then there's silence for a long time and there's nothing. And I think, oh, what was that? That was really funny. And then something else comes.
And then what do you do in these phases of silence? Are you creating new recipes? You also have a food blog with delicious recipes. I found a vegan omelette there.
Ah, yes. Ah, that's still there. You know, I haven't done that for a while, but I left it there because some friends like the recipes. Yeah, I love cooking. I love knitting. I love weaving. I love all these crafts, handcrafts, things like that. I love nature. I love being in nature and reading. So these things are also really important to me. At the moment, I'm trying to hone myself into one thing, which is the film, and just go for that. But I left the blog up there for fun.
It's good that you left it there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have the chance to try this delicious vegan omelette on mayo. Yeah, I talked to someone recently who is a channel and brings through all the messages of entities of other realms guiding us here on Earth. And she told me something very interesting, that we are their only hope, as we are incarnated and living on planet Earth. So if they can bring through or express something through us, that's their only possibility to reach out to humanity somehow.
Yeah. I noticed that there are different styles or different voices or different, you know, like the paintings seem to come from one source of energy, and they come also so quickly, like they usually come in like half an hour. I mean, I'm just and then they're there. The poems came in a completely different entity, a completely different energy, completely different voice, and it's really, yeah, I never know where they come from.
Does it come all of a sudden and you do have to start the creative process immediately, or do you feel the entity and open up to it when you have time and space for it?
The paintings, there was a phase with the paintings where I would just sit with my iPad actually and the pencil, and then they just came. But there wasn't a feeling, oh, now I have to do it. It was more like that was a time where that energy was flowing. And the poems just came. I write a lot in the morning. I just free write, usually just to clear my mind. But there was a phase. I think I was in a very quiet phase. It was a time when silence was really settling in my body. And then these poems were just coming, and I was writing them down and then looking at them later and going, oh my God, what's that? And so it's different phases, really. And right, you know, and then of course, sometimes I worry that, oh, I lost, you know, I'm not hearing anything or I'm not receiving anything. And I've had to really relax with that and understand that there are just times when things come, times when they don't, and the times when I'm completely on my own. And these are all important parts of the journey also.
Yes, you're such a beautiful example of what the social movement It's Time for Plan C that I founded is all about. It's about letting life flow through us in its own timing, and so that we can serve best with all our gifts and talents. And that's not easy.
Yeah, exactly. This is, and of course, you know, it sounds all very easy, doesn't it? But it's not. And I have to admit, I really struggle with my inner critic, and I really struggle with my inner perfectionist. And I know that these are patterns, you know, from childhood. And sometimes when I look at them, I feel they are even coming, they're just belong. That, you know, they come straight down the ancestral lines. But I have to say that I really suffer a lot from my critic, really, and come again and again in contact with it, and, you know, really have to say no, and really work with that a lot. And, you know, it does hold me back. It does stop me from receiving. It does make me question. It does put, you know, it does make me not in flow. And this is really sad and very, very painful. And that is also part of the process, I would say. And this is my homework, I guess. That's the part of getting out the way.
Do you long for peace with your inner critic, or do you think this is a lifelong journey and a lifelong healing process and confronting with your inner critic?
I think that's a good way of looking at it, to find peace with it. Exactly. But, you know, it's very clever. And very destructive. It finds its way, and so it's more like to find peace, but also to have limits. I think I'm learning, finding that sometimes I say no, stop. You know, it's like, this is as far as you get. Yeah.
And what I realized, it's also kind of related to us being in our mind. So if I manage to bring my energy more down towards my heart and towards the womb space, and if I root myself deeply, then the influence of the inner critic diminishes. But when I'm in the mind and I'm unsure about what I'm doing and concerned, then the inner critic is very influential and very destructive.
Exactly. It's, and sometimes it's there and sometimes it's less there. And because I've been working with film and doing something really new, and it's also something where I'm a little unsure myself of where I'm going with this new YouTube project that I have. So I think it's given the critic a really good, strong point to stand on, because, you know, I'm feeling insecure, and so you know, it's the best.
Yes, and the stage was his perfect moment for the inner critic to kick in and get on stage.
Exactly.
Let's talk about your YouTube channel project, Anmayo. Is there anything ready to share about what wants to be created and shared there with your audience?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's called On the Path, and the feeling, I mean, really, I feel like I'm standing at the edge of the forest, like, you know, in The Hobbit, and I'm about to enter into Fanghorn Forest, and I myself really don't exactly know where I'm going with this. But the feeling is, if I put it into words, is very much to try, and using the medium of film, which includes music, voice, sound effect, and visual, to explore my imagination, my inner realms. And this may be past life, it may be a deep experience, it may be meditation, it may be silence, it may be devotion, it may be longing, it may be all the different facets of what it is to explore your inner world. And one feeling or intuition I got about where I'm going with this is really to travel through the inner realms of the unconscious, which include archetypes, symbols, elements, and come out of the forest at the other side to a cliff, where that is, from there you can jump out of the unconscious in a way, and into the beyond, which is ultimately where we want to go. But it's like passing through that realm of our unconscious, which is very rich and deep, especially from the Western point of view, if we look at Jung, the work of Jung, and then come out the other side. So this is kind of the idea, but I have no idea whether I can do it. I have little flashes, or but maybe it's not going to be like that at all. Maybe don't know. But there's something in it with that, I think, in its essence. And I want to bring in story. I want to bring in archetypes, symbols, elements, and powerful music. And the idea of the music for me is also that it just carries the listener and maybe takes them through a challenging space. But then, having gone through that space and through that tension, then the light opens up and that is there. But it's a different kind of light from just a fluffy pink bunny light. It's the light where you've gone into the roots, you've gone into the pain, and from there, then that essence is there. So
it's this rising from the ashes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. It's, you know, dark night of the soul, the desert. It's facing these things, but then going, but in embracing them and feeling them. It's like the beauty of the desert, you know, and then that silence is coming. But there was one message I got to really go, you know, backwards, forwards, up and down, which I understood to be, you know, look into the past, look into the future, look up and look down to the roots. So, you know, the elements, the shamanic, but also the spiritual, the more Eastern Zen traditions, and then also the past life and the vision, you know. So that is the whole thing. It sounds really huge when I talk about it. And again, you know, I myself have no idea whether I'm able to do that. But I'm just going to start on the path and see what happens.
And maybe we don't have to know if we can do it. Maybe it's the serving that counts, and then the universe has our back and kicks in, and yeah, and everything unfolds as it should.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, the creations come through me, but they are always lessons for me. They may well be lessons for other people. And I'm very, very grateful to you, Nicole, for seeing me so deeply and feeling the value of my creations. Because, you know, I have created a lot and not been very successful in the world. It's not many people know my work or have it discovered it. So I, you know, the idea of me creating things for other people I would love to do that, but there haven't been a lot of people out there who've really been tuned into what I've done. So for me, the creation is first and foremost about my own process. So the more I create, the more, when I create something, then it's almost like it becomes mine. You know, it's like then I know or understand that realm that I've worked with, and it becomes part of my soul, and then I can move forward into the next thing. And but I've been so blessed in the last year to meet some beautiful souls who really love what I do and understand it and see it in a deep way, and there now I'm starting to create and serve for these people, and that is really precious. Because it's like a full circle also. So I feel like I have some people now who are coming with me into the forest, and we're going to move through that forest together. And yeah.
What I felt when I looked at your creation is a safe energy, a safe container to explore my own processes. And I feel held by your beautiful paintings, by your voice, your music, and by the combination of all of them in your films.
Wow, that's beautiful. Safe meaning that you can then allow yourself to go in these directions, yeah. That's beautiful.
And your exploration, your own exploration, I feel, is not only for yourself. You maybe think it is, but if you're looking for archetypes, for example, then it's something you do for humanity. You're approaching and searching for the essence.
Yes. And that's why, I mean, the message always comes again and again to share. It's like whatever, because, you know, I've gone through quite a struggle with that too. I created a lot of CDs and each time they, you know, they never really hit the market. They, you know, I never made money from them. And so I always kind of stopped and it was like, oh, no, I won't do this again. But I couldn't stop because a wave would push through me and I would just have to then start again. And slowly, I got accepted the fact that, okay, I'm making this CD. Maybe it's not going to reach anybody, but I have to do this. I have to do it. I have to share it. I have to make it available to people. Okay, I'm a terrible marketer. So.
Oh, same here. But I think the wonderful Kat Caroy with her Instagram update will, yeah, improve our skills to show up and to share and to reach out to the right audience.
Exactly. I understand the process a bit better, and I'm going to be working on a new Instagram account, which I haven't really started yet, to do with my music and visuals. So that's coming. But anyway, but I understand that at least it all has to be available. It's online, it's on my website, and then there's a completion there, and then the next thing can come. And so I am a servant in that way. You can definitely say I am a servant to the creative energy. I can't stop. Definitely. Yeah.
You serve life wanting to express something through you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And in different ways, which is the crazy thing.
I recently talked to a friend about what success really is. Is it having a huge audience, or is success diving deep and being open to serve, standing back with what we want? And maybe the rest is not in our hands. Isn't that successful? Maybe we have to shift our perception.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. How we define it in the world is one thing, but if I define it in a different way, from the depth that I continue to explore, or the variety, or the vastness, or the different entities, or whatever's come through me, to success in another way. And it's taken a long time for me to slowly understand that, and I'm still learning to embrace that. But it's much easier now.
Yeah, and making space for this inner exploration is a huge success. It's what humans usually are not open to do. And then they get burned out or whatever.
Exactly. And I don't know if it was maybe Hans Zimmer. He's a famous, I'm really into film composers right now, so I'm learning from all the big guys. And I think he said something like, you know, success is not, you know, you can have one hit movie, but success is when you can sit down on your second movie or your third movie or your fourth movie, and you have to start from nothing again and recreate. And, you know, there are people who become very successful, maybe on the strength of one or two albums, but they stay stuck on that, or they stay stuck in that niche because it's successful, but then they never grow. They never ever explore. And so they stay in that. So I start to see, when I heard Hans Zimmer saying that, I thought, oh, then I'm successful, because I've had to keep going and going and going and going. I've started from zero so many times. So, yeah.
I really bow to you, Tanmayo, for what you've experienced and what you've created in your life. It was such an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And I was just thinking about a poem by Hermann Hesse. I think it's called Stufen in German. It says that you have to be open at every stage, at every threshold, to move on and to leave behind what is common and to explore what's next. And your life really reminded me of that poem.
Yeah.
And Tanmaya, I wish you all the very, very best for crossing the next threshold, beginning your next creative adventure. I'm sure that a lot of people will find your creations as they carry the energy of the new, and that's what humanity deeply longs for.
Yeah, it's I sometimes have had this feeling that this my time is coming, or and that doesn't necessarily mean being famous, but simply that whatever I'm doing has a time where people will understand it, and maybe that time is not yet, but is approaching, and
it's near.
Yeah, so I'm gonna keep going.
I thank you so much, Tanmaya, for your time and all you've shared. And I'll place all the links to your creation, to your beautiful, deep creations, into the show notes. Thank you so much for being who you are and for serving humanity. You really make a difference with your deep work and with your commitment and your whole being. Such a deep and beautiful soul. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
This was Tanmaya in all her beauty and with a deep and old soul's wisdom. Yeah, and she told us that in order to create, she has to get out of the way. And this is also true for our life. If we get out of the way, life can unfold through us in a very powerful way. Yeah, Tanmaya mentioned it. COVID asks us to talk about what's essential. Yeah, let's talk about what is really essential in life. What is life truly all about? And what does it mean to be human? There's a lot available for us, Tanmaya said, but we have to listen. Yeah, and her work is not free of her inner critic and all the pain associated with it surfacing while creating. Tanmaya said she's a servant to the creative energy. She cannot stop. Yeah, have a look at her beautiful creations, her artwork, her music, and the films. And watch her invitation, the short film, already there on her brand new YouTube channel. I hope we inspired you today. I hope you got a glimpse about what the creative process could be all about, what it takes from us, what it asks for. Yeah, and how serving this creative energy directs a life, the life of Tanmaya, and it can direct your life and my life as well. So I'm looking forward to inspire you again next Sunday with a new episode in German again. And I wish you all the very best and a beautiful day ahead, or a good night, whenever you're listening to our conversation. Yeah, we are very grateful for your feedback. What has touched you? What resonated? Please share it on my Instagram account. You will find all the links in the show notes. Yeah, and to end this beautiful conversation, we are able to share with you Tanmaya's beautiful song, Lost and Found, from the album with the same title, Lost and Found, released in 2014. Yeah, enjoy listening to this deep song about what it takes to have the courage to get lost in life and to be found again by something bigger than we could ever imagine. All my love from my heart to your heart, and all the very best.
To be alone. Now you are near, and I bow to the mystery upon the sacred ground.